Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. Let's get right to it. Here's part one of a message titled, Called to Be Sent.
Now, during this series, we've looked at God's five purposes for your life. You are not an accident. There are accidental parents. There are no accidental children. There are illegitimate parents. There are no illegitimate children. Your parents may not have planned you, but God did. And he planned you even before the foundation of the world. And your life has value, and your life has significance. And you are not an accident. And the Bible says that God created you for five purposes, for five reasons, for five assignments. The Bible calls them your callings in life, your vocation in your life. Your vocation is far more than your career. Oh, no, no, no. It's your reason for existence. And God says, I made you for five reasons. Now, we looked first at, I am called to be loved. The number one purpose of your life is you were made to be loved by God. And until you get that, nothing else is going to make sense. You're made by God and for God. And he made you to love you. In that base of love, when you feel totally, completely loved by God, then you have the capacity to move into every area of life that he wants you to move into and experience life in all its fullness. But first, you're called to be loved by God. Then we looked at the next week at you're called to belong. You're called to not just be loved, you're called to belong. You're called to belong to his family. You were not meant to go through life on your own. You're not a lone ranger. You were made for connection. You were made for community. And we find our meaning and purpose in our relationships to each other. You're made, you're created, you're called to belong. Then we looked at the third calling in your life. You're called to become. God has plans for your life. He made you to become what he wants you to be. You can't be anybody in the world. People will tell you that. It's just not true. No matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be an opera singer. And no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be good at certain sports. I'm just not wired that way. You can be who God has made you to become. And joy, getting in the J zone, is when you become who God made you to be. You're called to be loved. You're called to belong. You're called to become. And then last week, we looked at the fourth calling in your life. You're called to bless. You're called to bless others. God didn't put you on the earth to live a selfish little clod of a life where it's all about me. No, it's not all about you. It's all about God. It's all about others. And we find our true meaning and purpose only as we give our lives away. And as I bless other people, I am blessed myself. And as I help others, I am helped myself. It's the law of sowing and reaping. But when you sow a seed, you don't just get one seed back, you get multiple seeds back. So whatever you sow in life, you're going to get back more of. You sow criticism, you get back more criticism. But you sow praise, you get back more praise. And you're called to bless other people with your life using what we call your shape, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experience. And nobody is uniquely shaped like you are. You have a unique voice print, eye print, mouth, handprint, footprint, heartbeat, emotional beat. And God doesn't want you to be anybody else. And when you get to heaven one day, he's not going to say, why weren't you more like somebody else? He's going to say, why weren't you more like you? I made you to be you. And unless you be you, who's going to be you? Now, tonight, we look at the fifth calling. And this is the calling of being sent. I'm called to belong. I'm called to be loved, I'm called to become, I'm called to bless, and I'm called to be sent. Now, I want you to write this down on your outline. God's plan for history. If you want to know the purpose of history, here it is. He's gathering a family. God is gathering a family that will love and live with him forever. The Bible makes this very, very clear. And the message was brought to us first by the nation of Israel. God gave this message to the Jews to give to the rest of us. And now we are to pass it on to others. That God's plan for history is that he's gathering a family that will love and live with him forever. If God hadn't wanted a family, he wouldn't have created the universe. He wouldn't have created the human race. He wouldn't have created you and me. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Look up here on the screen. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. This is God. To adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. All of us are created by God. All of us are loved by God. But not everybody is a child of God. You got to choose to be in the family. In fact, there's only two ways to get into a family. Be born into it or be adopted into it. And the Bible uses both of these metaphors, spiritual rebirth and adoption, as what it means to get into God's family. Now, for that to happen, God's whole purpose in creating the universe is to gather a group of people who choose willingly to love him. And God gives me a free choice to love or reject him, and God says, you ought to give everybody else the free choice to love or reject him. It's not faith if it's forced. So we don't believe in coercion. We believe in persuasion. We believe may the best idea win, but we don't believe in coercion because God says, I created you to love me, and it's not love unless I can choose to not love him. But those who choose to love him become a part of God's family. Now, once God's family is gathered together, we go into phase two, which is after earth, which is after life. It's in eternity where the real life begins. This is the preschool. This is the warm-up act. This is the dress rehearsal. This is the first lap around before the real race begins. The real race, the real life is eternity. Now, for God to gather his family, somebody has to pass on the good news. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. But, he says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? Circle the word sent. This is the fifth calling of your life. You are called to be sent. This is what the scripture means when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, what this verse means is this. My fifth purpose in life, my fifth calling in life is this. I'm sent to bring others into God's family. I'm sent to bring others in God's family. The moment I step across the line spiritually, God wants me to share the good news with others. You know, if I had the cure for AIDS and I kept it a secret and I didn't tell anybody, that would be criminal. In fact, they ought to put me in prison. If I had that good news and didn't tell people, I should be incarcerated. If I had the cure for cancer and I didn't tell anybody about it, that would be criminal. But God has given us an even greater message, how to have our past forgiven, how to have a purpose for living, how to have a home in heaven. And to not share that would be criminal. So my fifth purpose and calling in life is I'm sent to bring others into God's family. We call us here at Saddleback the peace plan. And we base it on some verses. Notice this verse. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, through Christ, God made peace between us and himself. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. I want you to circle the word peace twice there on your notes. God made peace between us and himself through Jesus. Then God gave us the work of bringing others into peace with him. So God's not mad at you. You can be at peace with him. Now this is God's eternal peace plan. The Bible calls it the ministry of reconciliation. One day Jesus is walking down the street and a guy comes up to him and says, Lord, what's the most important verse in the Bible? And Jesus said, I can summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. Here's Cliff Notes on the Bible. Here's the whole Bible in two sentences. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Be reconciled to God and be reconciled to each other. Make peace with God and make peace with each other. Stop your war with God. Stop your war with each other. End the conflict with God. And then you'll be able to end the conflict with each other. Get the Prince of Peace in your life and you'll be able to live at peace. It's all about relationships. Life is not about accomplishments. It's not all about achievements. It's not all about acquisitions. It's about relationships. Your relationship to God, your relationship to yourself, and your relationship to other people. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. This is the ministry of reconciliation. This is what God calls, we call, the peace plan. Make peace with God and then make peace with others and bring the peace of God into their lives. Now, this peace plan of God's eternal peace plan will only happen if you fulfill your fifth calling. The Bible says it like this, John chapter 20, verse 21. In fact, let's read this verse aloud together. Let's read it aloud with great enthusiasm. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, again, circle three words. Circle the word peace. It's the peace plan. Peace be with you. We get peace with God and we give the peace of God and we explain the peace of God to others. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Circle the word sent and sending. This is your fifth calling. I'm called to be loved. I'm called to belong. I'm called to become. I'm called to bless. And I'm called to be sent. Now, you guys, we live by this verse. Jesus says, as I've been sent, I am sending you. We don't just believe this verse. We practice it. We live it. We do it. And this is the one calling that most people want to shy away from. I can imagine some people get in heaven and God says, okay, let's go through the purposes I created you for, the reasons you exist. Let's go through the callings I gave in your life. Did you let me love you? You're called to be loved. Yes, got that one. Bingo. You're called to belong. Got that one. I did that. You're called to become. Got that. Did that. You're called to bless others. Got that. You're called to be sent and pass it on to others. Wrong answer. I didn't do that one. And God's going to say, and what were you thinking? You think I put you on earth to live for yourself? Once you have the good news, don't you pass it on to others? Now, many of you are new to Saddleback Church. So I want to take a minute and I want to explain to you what we call the peace plan and how we do this at Saddleback Church. Because as I said, we take this verse extremely seriously. Jesus said, as I have been sent from God the Father to earth, I am sending you out to all around the world. We call it the peace plan. What is the peace plan? I wrote a definition there on your outline. The peace plan is ordinary people empowered by God making a difference together wherever they are. Now, every one of those phrases is important. Ordinary people. The peace plan is not for superstars. It's not for saints and nuns and priests and missionaries. It's for people like you and me, normal people. Ordinary people can do the peace plan, empowered by God. We don't do it on our own power. God gives us the energy and the ability to do it. Making a difference together. You don't do it on your own. We always do it in groups. We do it in teams. We do it together. We're better together. We're in community. And we do it wherever we are. And so we do it here. We do it there. We do it everywhere. Jesus said it like this in John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go. Circle the word to go. I've appointed you to go. Part of your appointment, part of your mission in life, your life mission is to go. You are to be sent and you are to go. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now, fruit is a metaphor for a successful life, a fulfilling life, a productive life, a fruitful life. And Jesus said, I want you to bear fruit in your life that will last. That will last. Now, let me be honest with you. Most of what you do in life isn't going to last. Most of what I do in life isn't going to last. The things that we spend most of our time on, people aren't even going to remember in 10 years. much less in 30, 50, or 100. Most of the things you do in your life, it isn't going to last. Nobody's going to care what movies you went to, what books you read, how you spent your summer. And Jesus said, I want you to do something with your life that lasts. Now, there are only two things that are going to last forever, truth and people. Truth and people. So if you invest your life in truth and in people, then you're investing your life in things that last. Can you imagine getting to heaven one day and somebody comes up and says, I just want to thank you. And you say, thank you, I don't even know you. You said, no, you don't know me, but you helped in a ministry, you helped in a project, a humanitarian effort, you helped in your church, and you know what? You did something that caused me to get to know God. And I'm going to be in heaven because of you. I'm your friend forever. There's nothing you can do more important than help people determine the destiny of their lives because it's the only thing that's going to outlast it. It was William James who said, the greatest use of your life is to invest it in that which outlasts it. And when you invest it in people who are going to last for eternity, then you are doing fruit that will last.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share a testimony from Ella, who listens to Daily Hope in Canada. And she wrote, Pastor Rick, like so many, I found every area of my life flipped upside down when the pandemic hit in 2020. I graduated from the university in April that year, and I was lost and desperate for guidance. Yet, as stubborn as I was, I searched for answers everywhere else except in God's Word. But out of desperation, I read The Purpose-Driven Life, and I started listening to Daily Hope. Daily Hope was one of the resources that became monumental in my journey to giving my life to Christ a year after I started listening. And so I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone at Daily Hope for all the work that you do. It must seem so abstract when people you reach are all over the world, but I know I'm not alone in saying that Daily Hope has helped me find comfort and God when I needed it most. Wow. Ella, thank you so much. Thank you for writing, and thank you for telling me that you've accepted Christ. You know, I know so many people who are just like you. They're lost, they're looking for answers, and they keep looking everywhere but in the right place, God's Word for the truth. But praise God, you found the Word of God, you believed His Word, and you believed that Jesus is the truth. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that God is using this broadcast to help bring you and other people to Him on a daily basis. Now, you mentioned that it must be unusual to reach people around the world, even though I'm not able to meet them face to face. And I'd like to say this. I wish I could meet everybody face to face. I wish I could take every one of you out to a corner restaurant, sit down and have a cup of coffee, and just let me hear your life story. Nothing would make me feel happier than doing that. But that's why I'm blessed to receive letters. Please write me. Please tell me your story. I want to know how God is changing your life, how God is using His Word through Daily Hope to make a difference in you. So let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know how He's using Daily Hope to help you in your Christian walk. And that way we can pray intelligently for you.
Hey, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, he would love it. Please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.